News from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. New Orleans attack. I'm Richard Cantu. 2025 opened with at least 15 people being killed in New Orleans, more than 30 hurt when an armed man plowed a pickup truck into New Year's revelers on Bourbon Street.
Authorities identifying the suspect as 42-year-old Shamsu Dinjabar, a U.S. citizen and Army veteran from Texas. They say he was speeding down Bourbon, wearing body armor and firing an AR-style rifle out of the truck, racing about three blocks before crashing, then stepping out and opening fire again, wounding two police officers.
ABC's Trevor Ault, police return fire, killed the attacker.
I know I can speak for all Americans when I say our hearts are with the people of New Orleans after the despicable attack that occurred in the early morning hours.
Speaking from Camp David, President Biden said the nation stands with the families of those who were killed in New Orleans. This is ABC News. In his traditional year-end report on the judiciary, Chief Justice John Roberts had a warning for the United States.
Without naming names, the Chief Justice blasts public officials, whom he says have attempted to intimidate judges, suggesting political bias without a credible basis. John Roberts says such statements may prompt dangerous reactions by others. And pointing to an existential threat to the third branch of government, Roberts warns criticism of the judiciary could convert into open disregard for its rulings. These dangerous suggestions, however sporadic, he writes, must be soundly rejected.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. He helped pull wounded and injured sailors from the oily waters during the Pearl Harbor attack. His family says retired Navy medic Harry Chandler died Monday in Florida. He's the third Pearl Harbor survivor to pass away in recent weeks. There are only 15 left, all believed to be 100 or older. Harry Chandler was 103 years old. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Nets. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rematch from 1 week ago. The Nets beat the Bucks last time they played, 111-105. The Bucks looking for some revenge when they meet up again tonight at Fiserv Forum. NFL, the Packers' top defensive back, Jaire Alexander, had to have surgery on his right knee and is now out for the rest of the season. This will mean more snaps for second-year man Carrington Valentine.
This is next man mentality, honestly. You know, it sucks, but play football. Injuries happen. You know, you gotta keep going.
The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Caleb Williams was asked what he thought about his former assistant coach at USC, Cliff Kingsbury, as a candidate for the next head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'd say I've been around Cliff. I know what type of guy he is. I know that he loves football. I know that he wants to win. He's a competitor. I've been around him, so asking him questions and things like that, I think, obviously, if he was here, I'd probably have more to say.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit, claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries across the area will come to an end. We'll keep the clouds around the area overnight, though, as lows drop to the middle teens. Our winds will be light. On Thursday, some more flurries will be possible. A partly sunny sky, an afternoon high in the middle 20s. Right now, it's 22.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey everybody, it's Greg Bach here, co-host of Matinee on Air, and we want to wish you a happy New Year's. We hope you had a safe and fun time last night, and what we have for you for today's show is a collection of some of our favorite moments from the show, including some stuff you haven't heard before, made specially for today. But before we get into the show, I just want to remind you that you can get yourself on the Civic Media app for free. Simply go to wherever you find your apps, download the Civic Media app, and you can listen to our shows anywhere in the world. That's right, anywhere in the world. You can also call and text us when we are live on the air, but we want you to get that Civic Media app so you can be a part of the show. It's customizable, and it's very fun, and like we said, very, very free. So go to your favorite app store of choice, download the Civic Media app, enjoy. So we hope you sit back and relax. And here is an interview we did with Civic Media's very own Pete Schwabe on a great article the Cap Times wrote about him, his show Nightlight, and his work in Hollywood and the world of comedy. So take a listen and happy New Year's.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park. We are very delighted to be joined by our colleague and friend and host of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8 p.m. You're so famous, I didn't know if you'd actually be able to join us, Pete, now that you got your your whole own article in the Cap Times with a headline that reads, PBS host, screenwriter, shines nightlight on Wisconsin with radio gig by Victoria Davis. Well done, Pete. Nice article.
Thank you. That was really fun. I've been reading the Cap Times for years, and I have Rob Thomas, who used to work for the Cap Times on my show quite a bit to talk movies and TV, so... Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to get some downstate pub for this northern Wisconsin boy.
Absolutely. Well, you have quite a history. So for people who are not familiar with your background, take us back a little bit to all of the things that you've done.
You want me to go like prenatal or start?
Maybe not prenatal.
Yes.
Maybe start, after high school or college.
I wrote a couple jokes in the womb. I don't use them anymore. Promise I've written some new stuff since. I started in show business kind of when I was in college. I just started doing stand-up comedy. I did some contests in Chicago. And then I, for about 7 or 8 years, was Chicago-based as a comedian, traveled all over and was on TV, which was fun. And then got lucky and sold some screenplays when I moved to L.A. and sort of put stand-up on the back burner. But since then, I've been writing primarily and doing some acting. And I've always had trouble kind of picking a lane. But I've done some really fun stuff and met some great people. And since I moved back to Wisconsin, I've been hosting, doing some on-air stuff for PBS Wisconsin TV. And found a home here at Nightlight, which is fun because I get to talk about all the stuff I've experienced over the last 30 years, which has been really just a gas, you know?
Well, and it's a really lovely way to wrap up the day. I think for folks, if you're tired of news and you're looking for something that's just a little more light and isn't necessarily so angst driven. You know,
unless box office numbers, yeah,
right. But what kind of stand up did you do when you were out on the circuit? Was it observational? Was it, what kind of stuff did you do?
Very dirty.
Really?
No, I was not. I was pretty mostly clean, you know, because I wanted to be on TV, and then but you know, Greg knows all about that world, and being a comedian himself, you have to have your clean sets.
Yeah.
Pardon me. And then, you know, I would have more fun maybe, or take things a little further when I was on the road and that kind of stuff. But it was observational for the most part. And I wrote jokes as well, but I also told some stories and stuff like that. You know,
I've always thought that writing clean comedy is much harder. It's always easy to go to profanity and crudeness.
Right.
Right.
And Greg, back me up. If you agree with this, Greg, like, my thing is, I don't care if someone's dirty or not, but you have to make me laugh clean first. If you're funny, that's great. Then I don't care, you know, but it's the guys that relied only on being dirty or using swear words or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like, yeah, whatever. And they're hard to follow, too, on the road. So that's no fun either.
The a lot of times, I mean, it depends on the room, of course, but a lot of times the comics who rely on more profanity or more blue humor, you know, that kind of thing, they tend to be more like raucous and energetic. And they can, and if you go up there with like, well, you know, what's really weird about airline food is, and they're going to be like, what is right. this? I think when it comes to clean humor, because to me, there are different, there are so many, there's clean humor, which can be suggestive. It doesn't have bad language.
Sure. Right.
It doesn't say anything outright, but it leads the listener or the viewer down a path to make their own conclusions. There are people out there who do. I mean, Pete, you know this. There is a whole circuit of clean church comics who go to churches and do family friendly. You bring your 4-year-old to this 100% clean. And that is one. You make so much money.
I know.
They make so much money doing this. And two, the parameters are so strict. I mean, it's not,
I bet.
So like there's different levels of clean, there's different levels of dirty. And my thing with dirty is that if you can simply pull out the swear words, because I find that a lot of comics, they're saying those words because they're just popping their heads. They don't, like, I have a word where I have to say the F word. I have to say that F word to make the joke work. If I say any other word, it doesn't work. I also don't have to do that joke if I don't need to.
Sure.
But like, right. if you listen to a comic, you can say, hey, you just don't swear. All your material still works, but you're swearing on stage. You're not a blue comic. You just are right. kind of, you're not memorizing your script, if you will.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. And then I think there's something in between, like the dry bar.
Yeah.
You know, they're clean, but they're not like there's squeaky. Like church comedy. Exactly. Right. So pardon me, but you're right. And like I said, pardon me, those guys are hard to follow because you know, especially the guy that will go up and do like all local jokes.
Yeah,
you know, you got two guys traveling and they're into, and in fact I made a film called The Godfather of Green Bay, and Thomas Lennon plays that character to a T. He goes up and does all the local humor, gets the crowd all riled up, and then he introduces the next comic as a Bear fan, so he's digging himself out of a hole, you know,
right off the bat. Yeah.
And it can happen no matter where you go. There's those guys that they just want to go up and kill. They're not looking down the road. They're trying to get laughs right now from locals or take the easy road, whether it's swearing or just local jokes that only the locals would get, you know.
I have so much respect for guys who, for anyone who does stand up.
Yeah.
I think it's an incredibly difficult art form. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to try it a number of years ago. Will Durst. Will Durst, Waukesha guy, in San Francisco for years. And he actually invited me to open for him a number of years ago. I was so bad. I was so bad.
How bad were you?
It was two nights and I went home and rewrote my entire set.
Yeah.
So it was slightly less bad, but still kind of bad. But I wrote a lot of stuff about growing up at a funeral home.
Yeah. Which is great. Material. That's great material. And even though it's very specific and pointed, like not a lot of people can relate to it because everyone's been to, most people have been to a funeral home. Most people have been to a funeral. They know about death and they can access that dark humor point. Like, of their brain.
Right.
And that's a very, very, I mean, it's a very, it's rife with
possibilities. Yeah, well, that was the longest 22 minutes of my life. I will never do that again.
He had you do 22 minutes?
I don't remember. Maybe it was. That's brutal. I don't remember how long it was. It just felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that you killed with funeral home jokes.
Hey-o.
And you died on stage.
Oh,
so but you really threw a...
Peach Schwab, everybody. Nightlight here on Civic Media.
Stand up.
Peach Schwab is the host of Nightlight, and you can hear it weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network, all things entertainment and movies and television. And
it's really fun to be on that show, too. Like, it's just a good time.
Oh, you guys are both great guests. Yeah, it was fun. And Jane, you know, I've been a fan of yours forever since were doing news at WTMJ. And you guys both have great senses of humor. So it's fun. And that's what we do on Nightlight. We talk music, comedy, movies, TV, current events, fun stuff happening in Wisconsin. We do like ghost stories once in a while. We just try to keep it interesting, but also kind of lighthearted for people to kind of unwind after a long day, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Well, and you had John Legend on your show. How did that come about?
You know, it was, we kind of piggybacked on the whole political campaigning thing. You know, a lot of these celebrities wanted to get on local radio, especially in swing states. And John was good enough to come on the show, and he talked politics a little bit. And then I used the opportunity to sort of ask them about, or ask him or other guests about what they're up to and that kind of stuff. And he had a great sense of humor. Like, he laughed at my crazy jokes, and he was just a really, really solid guy.
Yeah.
You know, and a very good interview and very, very seasoned at being interviewed. You know, you can tell the people that really know how to make the host feel good and how to get their point across. He was great.
He is an entertainer in the classical sense of the, I mean, singer, dancer, piano player, actor, all the things. And that when you see him interviewed, he just has a style that just says, hello.
Like, I'm cool.
Yeah. Like, if this was a couple decades ago, he'd have a cigarette in one hand and a glass of scotch in the other and be like,
in a smoking jacket.
Exactly. Welcome to my show. I'm John Legend.
Right. And he's the guy that like was playing the piano for church groups. He was a church music director at like 16.
Wow.
So this guy is like so confident in his abilities. He has no pretense. It was just like, he's a real guy, or at least that's how he came across, you know?
And what I love about that is that he could be a real poop because of all of his accomplishments. Right. And he could be standoffish. And I'm sure you've done some not great interviews with celebrities. I know I have. And think about who was the worst interview you ever did, Pete. I would be very curious to compare.
Well, as someone who's been a real poop during an interview, I will say that, I don't know. You know, when I've been interviewed, that's been rough. But I would say, you know, I've had a host that tried to either be funny immediately because he thought you were a comedian and he was getting your name wrong and he couldn't wait to do time and temp as opposed to the interview, like that kind of stuff. But I would say most of the celebrities I've interviewed, Jane, whether it was, you know, on the radio or just or working with them as a writer, are just pretty down to earth people. I've heard other people's horror stories. I really don't have any horror story like that, though.
Well, that's nice. I have a couple. We're going to continue our conversation with Pete Schwab on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest-yield savings accounts at an online bank, just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi there, it's Greg Bach here, co-host of Matt and Air on Air, just reminding you that you are listening to pre-recorded content for today's show as we are off for New Year's. We hope you're having a wonderful New Year's Day, so please enjoy this second part of our interview with Civic Media's own Pete Schwabe. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. We are talking to our colleague, Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. I just want to remind you to get out your phone, get on the Civic Media app, and text the word snow, S-N-O-W. Text the word snow until noon today. Every hourly entry qualifies you for one of 8 grand prizes. It's our grown-up gift list statewide text to win contest. This hour, text the word snow, and you could pick up an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And again, if you don't have the Civic Media app yet, just go to wherever you get your apps. It is absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Get it, Pete Schwabe, comedian extraordinaire.
But is the word snow? I'm just trying
you
to text here.
You can't win.
You can't win, Pete.
You can't win.
No, I'm sorry.
Because you work for this company.
I have a lot of thoughts on this one, Pete. Lots of thoughts.
Andrew from Maine, by the way, texting in and casting aspersions on you and having Todd Alba on your show so that he can promote his hour to text in so he can win the contest.
Listen to that laugh.
It doesn't sound like you're disputing that.
Like this nefarious. No, I did have Todd on. He was great.
He is great.
On the cam. And he was, Todd and I had a handshake deal to split the winnings. it didn't materialize. He said something about inappropriateness. Whatever. He's got his thing.
Todd said something about inappropriateness. Amazing.
He would never do that.
You know, the guy who I have his promo so ingrained in my head, the watch Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Don't invite people. I hear that in my sleep. Literally, it's like a song you can't get out of your head. And at first I was laughing at it because it's very funny. And he and Aaron are hilarious. And I'm like, stop thinking about Todd Alba watching Netflix. That's all I can think about.
I assume tonight you're going to talk about some of the Golden Globe nominations because these just came out today. I got to tell you, Pete, I feel so out of it because I haven't heard of so many of these. So like for Best Motion Picture Drama, we've got The Brutalist, never heard of it. A Complete Unknown, that's about Bob Dylan, that I know.
Yes.
Conclave was about a new pope. Dune Part 2, I don't need to see
that.
It
was about more
Dune. More Dune. Nickel Boys and September 5th, I haven't heard of any of those films.
Well, you're not really behind, Jane, because a lot of these films come out toward the end of the year. They want to get them in time for the award shows. So I haven't seen, you know, there's no excuse. I should have seen Conclave now by now, but I live in kind of a smaller area. It was in the theater for like 5 days.
And that was it.
Close to Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I got that's on Netflix or on, you can stream that now, I think, and pay the $20, which I'll do. But like, you know, The Brutalist doesn't even come out, I don't think, until December 20th. So a lot of these films people haven't had a chance to see yet, you know, but, and you can stream, Emilia Perez, I think, on Netflix right now. I think that is available. I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it, Greg?
I've not yet. I love Selena Gomez and the cast looks amazing, but that's a lot that they're doing a lot nowadays is they're putting them in the theaters for the minimum amount of time they need to be in
to be qualified.
Because before that, Netflix couldn't get an Academy Award because it's home viewing. So now they throw it in a movie theater for a weekend and they qualify and then they, you know, spend $200 million on a Santa Claus movie.
Well, and the Brutalist is like over 3.5 hours. So, you know, that's brutal enough, but you have to watch that. You got to plan your whole evening. Or
seriously, what is it about?
Well, that's an A24 movie. Those movies are artsy.
Right. Yeah. Adrian Brody, Guy Pearce, Felicity Jones, I think. It's a post-World War II drama.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Looks great.
Now, schedule some time for that one.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pack a lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then this is a bone of contention for me.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Greg Bach, but we...
Uh-oh.
Best TV series for musical or comedy, Abbott Elementary. I'm good with that. Hacks.
Love it.
Absolutely. I love that show so much. Only Murders in the Building. Fine. Nobody Wants This. Never heard of it. The Gentleman. Also never heard of it. The Bear is not a comedy.
That's a tough one.
I will die on that hill.
Whoa, James.
I will.
Listen.
And he's rolling. Greg is rolling his eyes.
Her hill's already flown solo. On
her hills are. Jane's hills are real well thought out. Let me tell you, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a toss up. I mean, I do laugh when I watch the show, but it. I don't know.
It's a drama. It's a drama.
It's a dramedy.
It's not a dramedy. It's a drama.
Okay.
The Bear and Hacks. There's no comparison.
That's true. Well, I agree with that. I laugh more at Hacks, but
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows why they do it?
Because they can win.
Yeah.
Because if he had to go up against the other dramas, they might not do as well.
I don't know. I think they'd probably destroy
best everything. Best TV series drama, Golden Globe nominees, The Day of the Jackal, The Diplomat.
Day of the Jackal is boring.
You said The Diplomat is really good.
The Diplomat's so good.
Love The Diplomat. I've been watching The Day of the Jackal. It's I like it. I stuck with it, but it starts very slow.
Yes.
But there's some good turns as you go. It's good. It's decent.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I hear really good things about it.
Shogun.
Same.
Oh my God. That movie just, that show destroyed last year too.
It did. Shogun. First of all, I'm mad because it has so many subtitles. I can't play video poker and watch it at the same time.
However, to concentrate.
Yeah, but like nothing happened at the end. I'm like, I was so let down, and they killed off a main character. I don't get the.
It's
love
only going to be one season. It's a limited. It's done. It's done.
Oh, I heard. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense then. It kind of has to be.
Also, Slow Horses. I've heard good things about that with Gary Oldman.
Like it a lot.
And
I got through the whole thing in about 3 weeks.
Oh, no kidding. And Squid Game.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
I've not
you.
Seen Squid Game. Mm-mm. Can't
no, thank you.
Bring myself to watch that. Have you seen the news about Keira Knightley, though? She, not a lot of people know this. In Love Actually, that scene with the cue cards with Andrew Lincoln. She was 17.
She was 17.
Playing a newlywed to a guy who's like 10 years older than her and then being wooed by a guy like 14 years older than her.
And she told him, this is creepy.
Wow.
I cannot believe that. I had no idea. They should change the name to Love Predatorially.
I knew she was young. I didn't realize she was that young. My goodness.
Crazy. I didn't either. I had no idea. It's kind of hard to read that even now.
Yeah.
Check out Pete Schwabe tonight and every weeknight from 6 to 8 p.m. with Nightlight across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much, Pete. Really appreciate it. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special report from ABC News. New Orleans attack. I'm Richard Cantu. 2025 opened with at least 15 people being killed in New Orleans, more than 30 hurt when an armed man plowed a pickup truck into New Year's revelers on Bourbon Street.
Authorities identifying the suspect as 42-year-old Shamsu Dinjabar, a U.S. citizen and Army veteran from Texas. They say he was speeding down Bourbon, wearing body armor and firing an AR-style rifle out of the truck, racing about three blocks before crashing, then stepping out and opening fire again, wounding two police officers.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Police return fire killed the attacker.
I know I can speak for all Americans when I say our hearts are with the people of New Orleans after a despicable attack that occurred in the early morning hours.
Speaking from Camp David, President Biden said the nation stands with the families of those who were killed in New Orleans. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Nets. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rematch from 1 week ago. The Nets beat the Bucks last time they played, 111-105. The Bucks looking for some revenge when they meet up again tonight at Fiserv Forum. NFL, the Packers' top defensive back, Jaire Alexander, had to have surgery on his right knee and is now out for the rest of the season. This will mean more snaps for second-year man Carrington Valentine.
This is his next man mentality, honestly. You know, it sucks, but play football. Injuries happen. You know, you gotta just keep going.
The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Caleb Williams was asked what he thought about his former assistant coach at USC, Cliff Kingsbury, as a candidate for the next head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'd say I've been around Cliff. I know what type of guy he is. I know that he loves football. I know that he wants to win. He's a competitor. I've been around him, so asking him questions and things like that, I think, obviously, if he was here, I'd probably have more to say.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Entertainment Beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries across the area will come to an end. We'll keep the clouds around the area overnight, though, as lows drop to the middle teens. Our winds will be light. On Thursday, some more flurries will be possible. A partly sunny sky, an afternoon high in the middle 20s. It's 21 at our studios.
Matt and Air on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi there, it's Greg Bach here, co-host of Matt and Air on Air, just reminding you that you are listening to pre-recorded content for today's show as we are off for New Year's. We hope you're having a wonderful New Year's Day. So enjoy this discussion that Jane Calvin and I had, along with some of you, about the importance of thermostat settings in your home, a.k.a. thermostat wars.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. You can also email suggestions for the show. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, if there's a guest you think who would be great to have on, maybe something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, use that same email, please, and send it into janesays@civicmedia.us.
We've used the suggestions, a lot of
absolutely
a lot of This Shouldn't Be a Thing suggestions we've gotten through, and guests as well. So we do read those emails and
absolutely
want to hear from you.
Hey, before we went to the news, we were talking about today is Giving Tuesday and suggesting that people go give blood if you can.
Yes.
If that's something that you haven't done yet. Sue from Franklin just wanted to share a couple texts. Says, I got my 5-gallon pin recently. Good for you.
Dang.
Well done, Sue. Llama in Madison, I made a mistake that I need to own because I said that these phlebotomists aren't coming right out of phlebotomy school.
Yeah.
Llama says, I did have a paramedic in training take my blood. Please remember, everyone needs a chance to learn. You're absolutely right, Llama.
Yep. I got people who are trainees as well, and
but for the most part, it's a real quick stick.
And they have people looking over them and helping out and giving guidance.
But you're right. People have to practice someplace.
Yeah. We are both the guinea pigs and the helpers. So.
And Andrew from Maine, the church where I donated, had some awesome snacks set out symmetrically on the table as required by the laws of nature. So, okay.
Okay, Andrew.
Just if you can, go give blood. It's a good thing to do.
Could we do a show where we're giving blood? Like, we're in, like, we can have it set up. They can just do it.
I'm sure we could.
Just, you know, doing the thing with the
little squeezy ball.
With the little squeezy ball. And you're like, this is great. It's working. And then we can eat snacks and
life is good.
Apple juice. Oh, yeah.
And string cheese. All right. What is your thermostat happy place? Today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Maya Pandry, headline reads, what is the best temperature to set your thermostat in the winter? Here is what experts say. Experts generally agree the best temperature in the winter is around 70 degrees. The U.S. Department of Energy says the magic number is somewhere between 68 and 70. Lower temperatures while you're asleep or away to save energy. For children, the ideal sleep temperature is between 68 and 72. That's according to Children's Hospital.
Okay.
The WHO has a slightly wider range. Their ideal winter weather indoor temp is between 64 and 75. No way.
Wait, say that one more time.
Between 64 and 75.
For who?
For healthy people.
Well, I guess I'm not healthy.
64, boy. Ooh. That's chilly. Ours is at 68.
Yeah, I would say in the Bach household, we run between 68 and 70. Every once in a while, somehow, I don't know how it happens, we'll look, it's like, it's 72 or 73, and you can feel it. Isn't that weird,
yes,
though? Isn't that so weird that 68 can be comfy? If I turned your thermostat down to 60, you'd be freezing.
Yes.
But if you walked outside to a nice, sunny 60-degree day, you'd be like, this is so comfortable.
Yes.
I'll never understand it. But yes, we keep it between 68 and 70. If it's hot, I'll bring it down to 66.
Just to cool it off a little bit.
Then bring it back up.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with you. 72 is too warm.
Can I just, Calvin, do you have a thermostat? Are you thermostat happy somewhere? What's your happy place? Your parents' house, therefore you live with it.
I mean, it's my parents' house, so I kind of sort of live with it. But for the most part, I'm more or less happy with it. My mom has it set on a program, so when we go to sleep, it goes down to 65 from 68.
Yeah.
And me or my dad always ends up turning it up to 70 at one point during the night.
Oh, man.
Why do you do that? You're messing with the program.
It goes, but once it hits the next time in the program, it just goes back to where it was supposed to be. So,
okay.
So it's too chilly for you.
Yeah, 68 is a little chilly. My feet get cold.
They're called socks, Calvin.
do Calvin's tootsies get cold? I sleeping with socks is weird. Just feels.
But it's too. I mean, if I'm cold, if it's that cold,
yeah. Do you sleep with a blanket on Calvin? Now I'm in this. I'm interested.
Yeah, I have a sheet, a blanket, and a comforter.
Okay.
And I get pretty cozy, but I'm usually by the time I wake up, I'm a little chilly.
A little chilly.
I would much rather be chilly. Like I want it like in our upstairs bedroom. You walk in like right now, it's going to be
cool,
fairly cool in there.
Yeah,
which is fine by me. Then you put the blankets on you. And I'm a big dude. I run hot.
I bet, yeah.
And so, therefore, I need to be chillier. And then I pull the blankets on. And if I get too warm, I pull them off. And then, like, an hour later, I feel nice and adjusted. But I will say this. Oh, my God. I've told you this, Jane. I love my mother-in-law so much. I am lucky.
To have her.
To have her in my life as a mother-in-law and a mom. She's a beautiful mom.
But?
74 degrees at all times.
No.
74 degrees.
74.
At all times. It was.
I would die.
We were at Thanksgiving because she hosted it and we cooked. So she hosted. And we were at the table and there were eight of us in a small dining room with hot
with
food.
With the oven.
The oven, hot food.
Oh, God.
We were getting real warm. My niece was just like sitting there right next to the thermostat. And so we just kind of like said, so Patty, what are you going to do while you're out of town with Craig and Bridget? And my sister's like, turn it down.
Do it now.
Turn it to 72.
Do it now.
Yeah. 74. So warm.
That's really warm. 855-752-4842. Where is your thermostat? Happy place. Michaela from West Bend. I run hot and my son also runs hot and my husband's feet are cold all the time. We try to keep the heat around 68 max with TV and Xbox running. It just gets too warm, so we have to have the heat off often. Each room is individually controlled, and we only ever turn up the heat on in the living room. Wow.
Every room is it? Wow. See, that's something I have to have an HVAC guy come in because if you're in our house, the first floor, it feels like 68. You go upstairs, it's cooler.
It's like 66.
But then in the summertime, it's really hot upstairs and it's cooler downstairs. But every room is good. Wow. Do you have a Cyber Beast truck too as well?
She texted earlier and said that's a Cyber Beast in Canada costs more than her house. And she also says when we host Christmas Eve festivities, we turn off the heat and crack the window before anybody even shows up. Second floor apartment problems. Our downstairs neighbors heat our apartment in the winter, and we cool theirs in the summer.
That makes sense.
Because warm air rises.
That makes sense. Patrick, listening to WMDX, says 65, baby.
65.
That's a little cold.
It's a little.
But you get to bundle up then.
But we're at 68, and I still bundle up.
Yeah.
I'm always wearing a sweatshirt and usually a shawl.
Well, this is where I could tell like a super sexist old timey joke. It's like, well, you're a woman. You always run cold. Because women, I don't know what it is. I'm not science.
Michaela runs hot.
I know. There's exceptions to the rules. I run hot as well. But like, I don't understand. I just don't get it. Like I can.
Matt from Middleton texting in. I keep it at 64 and I'm sure I save money.
Yeah.
And Steve from Milwaukee, 65 is perfect at night too. Again, we're at 68 all the time. I used to do these great big swings where I would program it down to like 63 at night.
Yeah.
But then I read something that said it takes so much longer to get back up to 68 that you're not really saving that much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a weird story about how long it takes to heat up an apartment. I went on a trip once and my back door, I was in a garden apartment. And the back door led out to the backyard. And for some reason, it wasn't latched correctly. And this was a January. There was a massive snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
blew the back door to the garden, to the backyard open. And when I got home, the back door was open. There was snow in my living room. And my apartment's temperature was at -4.
Oh my gosh.
I had to go through and like for 20 minutes, turn on pipes, turn on water. Nothing froze. Thank goodness. It took 49 hours to get back to like 68 degrees.
49 hours?
It took a long time. Yeah, it was really, really weird. So always make sure that back door is locked, especially in winter, folks.
On the live stream, one big issue being ignored is humidity.
Yeah.
Your winter humidity in the house should be around 35%, not 45 to 55% like it is in the summer.
We're learning all sorts of new, great things fabulous. Here.
If it's too low, you'll get sick more. If it's too high, you can get sick because mold cause mold on the windows and also cause ice in walls that were mold or damage your house. Interesting.
And that actually brings up another point, too. And I know it's a money thing and no one's made of money, but it is good to have your house winterized as well. You should have an HVAC person come through and clean and
your
check all those things. Make sure you're good to go, because those costs, while maybe not the cheapest in the world, will definitely help you in the long run. Whereas like, in 5-10 years, you're like, yeah, you got to get a whole new furnace, or you have to get a whole new insulation because it wasn't checked. It's good to always keep up with your house if you own a house.
And there are companies that will come in and do checks for you.
Yes.
You know, obviously they're hoping that you're going to buy more services.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea just to make sure that things are sealed up and warm enough. And
yeah, it's an investment on your investment. Now, granted, if you have an apartment, you should be talking to your landlord about that. If they're worth their salt, they're going to do that as well, because it saves them money in the long run too. But yeah, if you own a home, you really should make sure that you before winter and before the warmer months, you have someone come through, clean the vents, check everything, and make sure you're good to go.
Alicia on the live stream says, I'm always in a hoodie and wrapped in a blanket, summer and winter. You and me too, Alicia. And the other thing, I always have to have the ceiling fan on to sleep. Winter and summer. I have to have it on.
Right now, no. Summertime, yes, because the air conditioning does not reach the top as well. So I always have that running.
A little more circulation.
But right now, it's nice and chilly in the bedroom, and that's perfect. I don't need extras. Plus, the dog, every time she runs in there, she's like, what is this?
Well, and King Rat says, hey, if you have a dog, those puppy thermal units can help keep you warm, too.
Hey, King Rat, if you can get my dog in one of those, I'll give you $100 right now, because
I think he's just talking about the dog as a thermal unit.
Oh, gotcha. I see. I thought you meant like putting a sweater on them, because she does not do well with clothing.
Not all dogs do. Calvin?
Well, I was going to say, I don't remember the last time my ceiling fan was shut off. Like, it never gets turned off. It's always on.
It's always on.
Is it on right now?
Currently.
That's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
Calvin.
One of those little things. PTUs, by the way, from King Red, puppy thermal units.
I see. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
There were some puppy thermal units happening yesterday. We got home.
A little snuggling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because you were gone all weekend.
We were gone, and she went insane when she saw us, and it was great. But yeah, her and I were big-time snuggles yesterday.
Well, we hope you find your thermal happy place. And there are no big arguments at your household. All right, one more break to go. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You're in Trouble Now edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Your mind.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. This is a pre-recorded episode. Mm-hmm. It is New Year's Day. Happy 2025, everyone. Wanted to look back at some of the best and worst memes and trends of 2024, courtesy of NBC News. Slop, rap beef, and brain rot.
Ugh.
Now, I'm assuming, Calvin, as our resident young person, you are more familiar. Brain rot, I understand.
Yeah.
Brain rot is not an unusual term, but do you know what slop is?
Slop, I'm not sure.
Rap beef?
I'm familiar with the rap beef that it's referring to.
Oh, that's about the musicians.
Yes.
So, okay.
So now I'm confused. So they all have to do together? They're all together?
No. These are all separate things that were things in 2024.
Okay.
So slang like Riz, which was last year.
That was last year, and you were working that really well last year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Took a little effort.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin, have you heard of Skibidi?
Skibidi.
Skibidi, yes.
Skibidi.
Okay, so I'm going to ask, because I've purposely stayed away from this. Calvin, can you explain to us what Skibidi toilet means?
I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows, and I think that's kind of the point.
I feel like we need to hire a new resident young person.
No, I'm being honest. It originates, if you look it up, there's this really bizarre animated Skibidi toilet video. And I think that might be the originator, but it's just kind of like a brain rot meme word that it just doesn't really mean anything.
Okay.
You just kind of like say it.
Sort of like
silly.
Sort of like Big Chungus?
Yeah, kind of like that.
I feel like Skibidi Toilet's more like a you feel me? Like, yeah, Skibidi Toilet. Like, like there's got to be finger pistols.
I can see using Skibidi, but I don't know that I would. Skibidi Toilet, buddy.
I dare you to use it in pleasant conversation.
Skibidi toilet is a weird one for me being 26 because I'm like aware of it, but it's very much like Gen Alpha, like middle schooler humor.
That makes sense.
So it's like I'm aware of it because like it's on the internet and like it's kind of like people my age will It's like a joke, like, haha, we're being cringy, skibbity toilet type of thing.
That is hilarious.
People who actually think it's funny, non-ironically, are middle schoolers.
Our fifth grade boys.
So I can walk I can walk up to an 11-year-old boy and be like, dude, you're so cringe.
No, you'd go walk out to him and go, that's so skibbity toilet.
I see. I still don't get
Hello,
any.
Fellow kids.
Hello, fellow students.
Hello, fellow
what
kids.
What do you do?
Another similar one to skibbity toilet is referring to things as like so Ohio. And that's more
dumb.
That is a little bit more of a definition. I think if things are like crappy or weird, that's when things are referred to as Ohio. But that's another one of those brain rot slang terms.
Well, look at what we're learning today.
Yeah.
Brett Summer.
Got that. Yes. And Charlie XCX hosted Saturday Night Live. Not a great episode, but she did give a generous explanation of what brat means.
To be brat, as Charlie XCX explains, is to be honest, blunt, and a little bit volatile.
I would say it's if being volatile is being true to yourself, then yes.
You're brat.
You don't have to be volatile, but if
that's
what you're doing,
who you are.
Exactly. Then yes, then you are brat.
NBC News article, we are looking at the 2024's biggest memes and moments on this New Year's Day. The Great Exodus, which makes me very happy, actually. First it was Mastodon, then Threads.
Oh.
Now Blue Sky. Former Twitter users have been intermittently fleeing what's that platform is since Jabba the Musk bought it in 2022, but the biggest user exodus from what used to be Twitter happened right around this year's election. In just the last month, millions of people, including many celebrities and other brands, have flocked to Blue Sky, and both Blue Sky and Threads have seen significant spikes in signups since the election. And a lot of people on Twitter have pointed out to growing issues. And if you've spent any time on Twitter, you know you've experienced this too with the bots, yeah, the partisan advertisements, and the harassment. It's just unbelievable what people will say on that platform.
And the thing for me is, like, I understand that, like, you know, you don't want to feel unsafe there. But I also do feel like you should have maybe some differing opinions here and there and throw like a tweet here and there to your timeline that maybe challenge you. But what happened was, is when Elon took over, he opened the floodgates and my timeline changed 180 to the point where I'm like, I don't follow any of these people. And yeah, and most of them are monsters.
Yeah. They did the For You feed and then the one you were following. I had things showing up in my For You feed. Like you said, I've never followed those people.
Yeah.
I didn't want to follow those people. And I just think in the last couple of years, the harassment has just gotten, it's so awful.
Yeah.
It's so ugly.
It's definitely not brat, nor is it skibbity toilet.
Certainly not that.
Yes.
Certainly not that.
It is Ohio, though.
It
is so Ohio. Look at how cool we are now. Also mentioned in this article, the Paris Olympics. That was a pretty big deal.
That was actually my first Olympics watching it, I watched a lot of it.
Yeah, you did.
And the opening ceremonies were cool.
And the rise of underconsumption, trying to get people to buy less stuff. So this apparently became very big on TikTok this year, encouraging people to focus on things they actually use and enjoy on a daily basis instead of surrounding yourself with a bunch of junk that might be popular, but you're not going to need it. You're not going to use it.
That's one thing I feel, and I bet you, Calvin, you're the same way, because none of us, the three of us, like, we don't fall into buying the fad stuff.
The trendy stuff.
Yeah. So that's not a problem for me at all. I consume.
Happy 2025. We have news coming up next. Our special pre-recorded episode of Matt Nair on Air continues. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Matt Nair on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. New Orleans attack. I'm Richard Cantu. Police and the FBI in New Orleans are investigating after a natural-born American rammed his pickup truck into New Year's revelers on Bourbon Street, killing 15.
Hours after Shamsuddin Jabbar plowed through a crowd of New Year's revelers, the pickup truck he used as a weapon sits on Bourbon Street here in the French Quarter. Louisiana State Police investigators are carefully marking each bullet hole fired through the windows in sheet metal. On the pavement next to the vehicle, a pool of dried blood marks the spot where the 42-year-old died after he was shot by police after crashing into a construction lift.
ABC's Jim Ryan in New Orleans.
Findings in the truck itself proved to be probably the biggest immediate clue for the authorities to conclude that this was an act of terrorism. The pole sticking up from the trailer hitch is flying what the FBI has described as an ISIS flag.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. This is ABC News. The FBI assisting Las Vegas police after a Tesla